If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in two places this morning. We're going to be in the book of Revelation chapter 3, book of Revelation chapter 3, and Acts chapter 16. Revelation chapter 3 and Acts chapter 16. I've titled today's topical teaching, The Church Hell Cannot Handle. The Church Hell Cannot Handle. You know, before Jesus went to the cross, he made a statement. He made a statement concerning the church. And it's a statement that we all need to look at on a regular basis. Jesus described often what he has described often, sometimes has little resemblance to many of the churches found, sadly, in the world today. I want you to listen to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, if you would. And it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." You see, in that verse, Jesus tells us about the character of the church that we are to have today. You see, he's going to build first the church. He says the church is to be built upon himself. The church is to be built upon himself. Jesus is the foundation of the church. That solid foundation, you see, whenever we build something, whether you're building a building or like us, we build a swimming pool, we need to build on a solid foundation. And you see, that's what Jesus is for our church. He is the solid foundation. You see, his death, his shed blood, his resurrection is the foundation, you see, upon which the church stands. You see, Jesus also says that the church is to be a militant church. What does that mean? He says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, you see, gates are not offensive. Gates are not like guns and tanks and airplanes. You see, gates are defensive. Gates are defensive in nature. The church that Jesus described was not a body, listen to this carefully, of weak, oppressed people who were just sitting around in fear waiting for the next attack of Satan. The church Jesus pictures is one that is on the move. One that's active, one that is moving. They're active in the Lord's work. They don't operate in fear, you see, but on faith. You see, literally, the church that Jesus is describing is a church that hell cannot handle. I've asked you to turn to Revelation 3. And in verse number 7, I'd like you to follow along. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." That's an important verse, and if you don't have it underlined in your Bible, it should. We'll touch on it in just a few minutes. "Behold, I am coming quickly. How fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." You see, the scripture we have read is specifically to the church in Philadelphia. That church has been described in a lot of different ways. a lot of different ways over the years. Many have called it a, excuse me, a weak little church. I want to call your attention to the fact that of all the seven churches that are in the first part of Revelations, this is the only church that did not receive a rebuke of any type. The only church. When Jesus wrote to this church, everything that he had to say to this church was positive. Notice that in this letter, Jesus, not the church, is the primary focus. Jesus is kept at the center of who we are and what we do. He will be glorified. That's important to remember. And that's important to catch this morning, that if Jesus is the center of what we are and what we do here at this church, you see, Jesus will be glorified. If we make him as the church, he will make much out of us. So I want to spend a few minutes this morning as we look at this letter to the church in Philadelphia. His words to the church. We see the clear type of picture that hell can't handle. The type of church that hell cannot handle, you see, we see that in these verses. These verses talk to us about how the kind of church that we are to have and what the type of firm foundation that we are supposed to have. I'm going to break it down into three little sections this morning. The first one is in verses 7 through 8. It says, I want you to title it, Consider Our Opportunities. Consider Our Opportunities. Verse number 7, And to the angel of the Lord in Philadelphia write, These things say who he is holy, who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. There's certain words, there's certain opportunities that the Lord has made available to this church. Not only to this church, but to the Church of Philadelphia. You see, those opportunities are available to each and every church that walk in his will. And that's important to remember. It's available to each church that walks in his will. In verses 7 and 8, Jesus comes to the church and he reveals himself as the one that's in control of everything. He reminds them that he is to be the focus of their faith, and he is to be the hub around which the wheel of service turns. That's important. Jesus is the center of our faith. Jesus is the center of our church, and he's the hub. He's the center around everything that spins. Jesus is the holy and true one. There's no sin. There's no deception in our Lord. He's all that he claims to be. His motives are always true. His motives are always pure. He's the dependable one. But you see, in these verses that we read in Revelations, Jesus is described as holding the key of David. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? There is a reference that we have to look at, and it's in Isaiah 22. You don't have to turn there, but you can look at it later. Isaiah 22, verses 20 through 22, and it says this, And then I will call my servant, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, to replace you. I will dress him in your royal robes and will give him your title and your authority. And he will be the father to the people of Jerusalem and Judah. I will give him the key to the house of David, the highest position in the royal court. When he opens doors, no one will be able to close them. When he closes doors, no one will be able to open them. You see, a faithful man named Eliakim was named the steward of King Hezekiah. And he was given this key of David that it's spoken about in Revelations 3. And it's referred to the fact that Eliakim had access to all the riches that belonged to the king. He had access to everything. The Old Testament passage, you see, is an illustration to the key that we have to Jesus as a church. He's faithful. He's the faithful administrator of the riches and of his kingdom, of his Father. It reminds us that he has the power to meet the needs of his church. He has the power to meet the needs, and that he will lead this ministry as we go forward. He'll be faithful to provide all that we need to do the jobs that he calls us to. And you see, that's important, that we listen to the call of Jesus for what this church has. What is the call that he has for this church? Since he has the keys, he has the power to open and close doors. See, the bottom line is that Jesus is in control of this church. Pastor Ken is our senior pastor, and Pastor Ken listens to the Holy Spirit to guide and direct this church for the direction that it's going. He's in charge. Jesus is in charge of seeing that our needs are met. It's interesting. It was either in January or February this year, we found out that at the old location where we were at, that the property was being sold. Property was being sold. What were we going to do? Well, Pastor Ken and I have been out many, many times looking at buildings, locations. And you know what? Every door was slammed shut. And not just a little bit of a slam, but a big slam. It was like, bam! So here we are. Where are we going to go? Well, Pastor Ken had driven by this facility many times, and had actually talked to the pastor here at St. Peter's, but there was no interest in letting us come in. Pastor Ken talked to him in March of this year, and guess what? The door was opened. You see, the door was opened at that time at just the right time. Oh, we could have tried to force the door open, tried to kick the door in, but you see, Pastor Ken didn't do that. We prayed about it. We prayed a lot. Where are we going to go, Jesus? Where are we going to go? We don't have any place to go. This place is going to be gone. Where do you want us to go? And look at where we sit today. We are such a blessed people. But you see, the door was opened, and we walked through. That's what's important. Ephesians 5:23 says, "For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body, the church." You see, in verse number 8, Jesus tells us that he knows their works. He's talking to that church in Philadelphia. He says he knows their work. What does that mean? Well, he knows everything that they're doing, how they're doing it, and what their motives are for doing it. He knows when they use the open doors that are opened. And he also knows if they're pushing against doors that are closed. When we were looking for a place for the radio antenna, for Spirit FM radio, we had looked in many, many places. We looked for towers that were available to put the antenna on. Oh, we found a couple, but it was so expensive, there was no way that we could afford it. We kept looking and looking and looking. The doors kept being closed all the time. We came up to almost a month before we had to find a place to put the antenna or that we were going to lose our FCC license. Because you had only so much time to find a place for the antenna and get on the air and start broadcasting. About a month before, the Forum building called me and said, "By the way, there was a radio station up on top of our roof here that left. Would you like to put your antenna up there?" Wow. Talk about a door just flying open. And that's where the antenna is today. God is so good. But you see, through prayer and just waiting on Jesus, we waited until that door was open. Oh, we could have kicked the door in and gone to another tower and paid a lot of money a month. But that's not what God wanted. He closed that door. Jesus is telling these folks in Philadelphia that he's given them an open door of opportunity to minister to the world. And he has paved the way for our success as a church. You know, when Pastor Ken founded this church about 16 years ago, he started the church because the Holy Spirit told him to start the church. And as the church has been in a lot of different locations and we're here now, you see, the Lord has opened up a lot of different doors for this church in the ministries that we have. Oh, you see, we're a small group. We're a small group, a small church compared to the big, big, big churches. But guess what? He has given us a powerful ministry. What is that ministry? Well, it's a powerful media ministry. You see, we're live on the internet right now. We're live on the radio. We couldn't have done that at the other location that we were at in Pompano. We didn't have the facility. But God moved us here to this facility, and He moved in your hearts to give and to finance the equipment that is broadcasting this moment right now. The door was opened, and we walked through, and we started broadcasting. And not only are we ministering to people here in Pompano and Deerfield, it's around the world. We're getting the gospel out around the world. Those are the open doors that Jesus called us to walk through. But you see, we have just wonderful worship here. We had great worship this morning with our worship team. We have what I call genuine worship. You know what genuine worship is? To me, genuine worship is what we had this morning. Sincere worship, to where we can sing with our worship team, or we can close our eyes and just let the Holy Spirit just speak to us. There's no bells and whistles and smokes and light and all that stuff. It's just pure worship. And that's what Jesus calls us to have, is genuine, pure worship to Him. And we're blessed by that. But we're also blessed in the fact that when Pastor Ken teaches, he's teaching book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. He's been going through the book of Matthew. We just finished John. He's going to get ready to talk about, he's going to get ready to start Acts in a very few weeks. You see, we teach the Word. And that's what's so important. Because so many people, so many churches have left the Word behind. They're not teaching the Word anymore. And all comes back to, are we walking through the open doors that Jesus has put before us at this church? I ask you to turn to Acts chapter 16. And in verse number 6, I picked probably one of the most difficult verses in the Bible to read because it's got cities in it that are extremely difficult to pronounce. And I'm sure that I'm going to butcher up the pronouncement, so you can just pray for me as I read this scripture. Verse number 6, it says, "Now when they had gone through," this is Paul and Silas. They're on a missions trip, Paul and Silas. "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and to the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them, so they passed by Mysia and they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." You see, those doors were open for Paul and Cyrus in that scripture. They were opened. They were trying to go one way, the doors were closed, but the doors were open to go to another location, and that's what they did. You see, the doors of God are a blessing, and there's going to be times when He opens those doors wide, and there's going to be times when those doors are shut closed. But they're all a blessing. And when that happens, sometimes we're going to be trying to kick those doors open. We don't want to do that. We want to listen to the Holy Spirit. We want to, if those doors aren't open, let them be closed. Go through the open doors. He's actively involved in all that we're doing here at this church, and He is going to lead us as our ministry progresses. Verse number 8, it's just another opportunity these people saw with the consistency they carried out their ministry. the people described are possessing little strength. You see, remember what the church said to the church in Sardis? They had the reputation of being strong, but they were dead. In verses 3:1, for chapter 3:1. Then the church in Laodicea thought they were powerful and they needed nothing. Yet Jesus told them they made them sick. In Revelation 3:16. But this church in Philadelphia, even though it was probably small in size and maybe poor in the financial realm of things, was said that they had little strength. And while his church was weak, probably in the eyes of men, Jesus tells them that their weakness is a strength because of their greater dependence upon him. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 reads this way, and this is Paul speaking. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, trouble that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong. And that's what that church in Philadelphia was. They were weak. Maybe they were weak in size, but they were strong because they were doing what God had told them to do. They were going through the open doors that were open in front of them. And that's what we're trying to do here at Calvary Chapel Cornerstone Church. We're trying to minister through the open doors that Jesus has given us, through the many ministries that he has opened the doors for us for. Are you praying for this church on a regular basis? Oh, I hope you are. I hope this church is on your prayer list each and every day for the ministries that it goes out, that as the media goes out, that it's touching the hearts of those that are listening. We may never know. Oh, you know, when we're on the radio on Sunday nights for In the Word Live, we've gotten letters from the Broward County Jail saying the prisoners are listening. We may never know the depth of what they're listening, how they're listening, what their lives are changed. We may never know that. But you see, through this church, we want to touch the lives through those open doors that Jesus has given us, whatever that is. He has blessed us in so many ways. He's blessed us with this wonderful facility, the equipment that runs it, the people that are up there running it. He's blessed us over and over and over. We're such a blessed people. As Jesus continues to speak to this church in Philadelphia, he talks about two of their characteristics that made them strong in the midst of their weakness. Number one, they kept his word. If you're in the book of Revelation, you can circle that word kept. You can write off to one side to take care of or to observe. You see, in other words, the church honored the word of God. They honored the word of God. They gave it a high place in their church and a high place in their life. And I believe we're doing that here also. We're always teaching the word. Are you keeping the word in your life? Is it foremost in your life? Do you have that prayer life? Do you have that time that you're in your prayer closet when you're praying and meditating and seeking out the Lord? Number two, they were always keeping his name. The Church of Philadelphia. They weren't ashamed to be identified with the name of Jesus. They weren't ashamed to exalt him and to allow him to be the focus of their worship and their lives. And you see, as long as Jesus Christ is the center of the church, the work, the worship, and all that gets done, as long as we have Jesus as the center, as he's the hub, and everything goes out from him, you see, our church will be blessed. And I believe we are blessed. I believe we're blessed in so many ways. But I also believe that there's more open doors coming, that there's going to be other ways, whether it's through the radio station, whether it's through more media. There's going to be other ways that the Lord is going to bless this church, and the doors are going to be opened even further. We just have to watch for those doors. I love Matthew 18:20, for it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, Did you catch that? Together in my name. And that's what we're here doing this morning. We're in the Word. There I am in the midst of them. Number one, consider the opportunities. Number two, as we move on, verses 9 through 10, consider our opposition. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jew and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. You see, the church possesses many opportunities, but we know that we're going to face people who are not on our side. We know that. Pastor Ken talked about that persecution that we may feel. Oh, we may get our feelings hurt. We may want to talk to somebody about Jesus, and they may say, I don't want to hear about that. Well, maybe our feelings will get hurt. So what? So what? But you see, we're going to face that opposition. But you see, what we read about here this morning in this verse number 9 is Jesus' promise that he was going to protect us. You see, the enemies were Jewish people who refused to receive Jesus as Messiah in this verse. And these Jews openly opposed the work of the early Christians and persecuted them for it. But you know, the real enemy wasn't the Jewish person, it was Satan. And we see that. Ephesians 6:12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. We know who our enemy is. The Lord promises that our enemies will one day bow in submission. We're going to see that while the exalted church looks on. The promise is that we're going to be safely protected from our enemies, and that we will enjoy the final victory. Yes, if we go out and talk to people about Jesus, yes, we may feel bad sometimes when they say, I don't want to hear it. Go talk to somebody else. That's just a crutch that you need. You're right, it is a crutch. It's a crutch that we all need, because we're all crippled people. We're all sinful people. And yes, Jesus is that crutch that we need. He loves us so much. Jesus' protection. In verse number 10, this is a great verse. And if you don't have this verse memorized, especially in today's world, as we've been talking about prophecy over and over, and Elder Dave talks about prophecy a lot, and he's teaching a great home Bible study on prophecy. This verse is prophecy. It says the verse reminds us that the Lord is coming back for his people. When? Before the great tribulation. He's coming back before that. Before the great tribulation comes to the world, it's a promise that we're going to be protected from the day of the Lord's wrath. Now, if that doesn't cause us to say amen, I don't know what does. Because that's a great promise. As we go through this world, as we see the world falling, not falling apart, but what is falling in place? We know what's happening. We see the world changing. We see it changing minute by minute. The evil in the world. But we have this verse number 10, that says, the Lord's not going to leave us here for the great tribulation. We won't be here for that 7 years of tribulation. We're going to be gone.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You see, the Lord has promised judgment upon those that have denied his name. But he promises to protect his children from that awful time. I thank God that we have that promise right there. I thank God that we have that promise every day. We're not going to go through it. Verse number 10 is clear on that. Number one, consider our opportunities. Number two, consider our opposition. Number three, as we close, 11 through 12, consider our obligation. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Jesus closes this letter to the church of Philadelphia, and he reminds them that they have certain duties as his children. There's obligations that they have are mentioned in these couple verses. We have an obligation to watch. We have an obligation to watch. His reminder is that we're to be mindful of his return. Are you mindful? Are you thinking about it? I'm praying for it. I hope you are too. I'm praying for the rapture, the harpazo. Take us home. I don't want to go to work tomorrow. Somebody else can finish those pools that we started. We're not going to be here. Somebody else can sell those cars. Somebody else. Somebody else can fix those roofs. Somebody else. We're going home. But we have to be watching. Why is it important? Well, the answer lies in 1 John 3, 1, 2, 3. We're looking for Jesus to come at any moment. Any moment. But we want to live that life that's pleasing to him, because when he comes, we want to be doing something that's pleasing to him. I'd love personally to be in church. I don't know if that's going to happen. But he's going to take us home. We want to present that good testimony to others around us. You know, the world is watching. The world is watching. Are you that solid testimony for others in the world? When you're in Publix and somebody cuts in front of you and is in the line with 50 items in the express checkout line, are you a good testimony? Are you a good testimony when that you're driving 95, help us all that drive 95, pray for us all. When that person cuts in front of you, are you a good testimony? Are you a testimony to your neighbor when they're hurting? And you go over and you, can I help you? Can I pray for you? You pray for them right there. Not later, but you can pray for them later too, but you pray for them right there. Are you a good testimony? Jesus calls us to be watching. But he also calls us to work. In verse number 11, those are counts. We're counseled to hold on to the things we have. What are the things we have? His word and his name. We're to continue to walk through the doors that he's opening for us. We've talked about that a lot this morning. Those doors that Jesus opens for us, we want to walk through. We want to be mindful of the ministries that he's presenting to us as a church, whatever that is. Continue on in the things that Jesus has called us to do. It's not time to quit. It's not time to slow down. If anything, it's time to ramp it up and do more and to share the gospel with others. And then we're called in verse number 12 to worship. This verse lets us know that there's going to be a day when we're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness. It speaks of pillars. What in the world is the pillars that they're talking about here? Well, in the ancient city of Philadelphia, the city was filled with a lot of pagan temples, and in those temples were pillars, and on those pillars were the names of prominent citizens of that city. They would carve their names, and people were very proud of that. But you see, the pillar that's talking about here is the pillar that is made by Jesus. He says that the people that will be honored by being a pillar in his temple. Are you a pillar? His promise is for strength and stability and steadfastness and security. You know, we want to make sure that we realize the emphasis in verse number 12 is not on man, but it's on Jesus. Jesus is the one who will make us a pillar in the temple. There's an old Gaither song, Bill and Gloria Gaither. And the words go like this. It says, let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we've settled the question. We've made our choice. Let the anthems ring out, songs of victory swell. For the church triumphant is alive and well. You know, the ship's been through battles before. The storms and the tempest and all the rocks on the shore. Though the hull may be battered, it's safe and dry. It's going to carry its cargo to the port in the sky. And it ends up, so church, God's church is still alive. So family of God, lift your hands. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. The church, God's church triumphant, is alive. It's alive, my friends, alive and well. You might say, you know, Ron, great story today about the Church of Philadelphia. Glad that you taught on that. What does it mean for us? Well, what it means for us is that God has a purpose for this church. God has open doors. God has doors for this church that aren't even open or even in sight yet. He's leading us in ministry here. There's going to be opportunities in the future that we don't even know of right now. If the Lord tarries and doesn't come back, we want to make sure that we're going through those doors, that we're opening those doors, and when God presents that ministry, whatever it is, that we listen and we're there to take advantage of those doors that He has opened for us. So what is your obligation? Your obligation is to pray. Your obligation is to pray. Your obligation is to be in the Word, searching out the Word, studying, praying for each one of us. Pray for Pastor Ken. Pray for myself. Pray for our worship team. Pray for the people that come early and set up and break down our ministry people up there. Pray for the radio station. There's so many things of this church that we can pray for each and every day. Because the church is, God is using this church in a powerful way. Oh, you can look around and say, we're just a small group, small body of believers, probably very similar to the Church of Philadelphia. But you see, God wants to use this church in a powerful way. He wants to use us in a powerful way. And maybe you're listening this morning on the internet, online, through the radio, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, never given your life to Christ. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. And you can pray these words after me. They're not magical words. They're just a prayer to lead you into your new life with Jesus. If you would, close your eyes and let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for your great love to us. I ask you, Father, to come into my life today, that you would take my sin away. I acknowledge that you died on the cross and 3 days later rose again. Thank you for being my Savior, for being my friend. I love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, we would like to know. If you're listening online, you prayed that prayer, send us an email and let us know. We want to pray for you. But we want to pray for each one of you each and every day. As I close this morning, I saw this on Facebook a couple days ago and I thought it was pretty good. It says this, we need preachers who preach that hell is still hot, that heaven is still real, that sin is still wrong, that the Bible is God's word, and that Jesus is the only way of salvation.